Say hello to the future of choosing your dream kitchen or bath. Buffalo Stone and Tile now house Wyoming's first 100% self-serve showroom, open every day 7:30 to 7. Granite, quartz, porcelain tile, luxury vinyl plank, faucets, hardware, thousands of today's hottest finishes, all ready for you to explore on your schedule. Just stop by, call the number on the door, and get buzzed in. No appointments, no pressure. Buffalo Stone and Tile, 1402 Sugarland Drive, behind WyoVision. Self-serve, stress-free, seriously gorgeous. Design help available by appointment.
Mossholder's Design Center is here to help you create a space that you'll love. If you're relocating, remodeling, or just refreshing your home, Mossholder's talented design team can help you through the process. With free in-home consultations, Mossholder's will be able to find the furniture and finishing touches that work best with your space, your lifestyle, and your budget. So if you want to change the look of just one room or furnish an entire home, Mossholder's designers can get it done. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Get outside in fun, healthy ways on Sheridan Community Land Trust Community Trails. With 30-plus miles on the Soldier Ridge Trail System, Red Grade Trails, and the Green Room, plus more than a dozen access sites on the Tongue River Water Trail, it's easier than ever before to go from your front door to the outdoors in Sheridan County. Get your maps and nature guides at SheridanCLT.org.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
January 8th. It's a Thursday, and from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan City Councilwoman Bev Leichnam and Public Works Director Hans Mercer. Good morning, and Happy New Year, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Floyd.
Bev, how were your holidays?
My holidays were wonderful. They were a little bit on the quieter side. We didn't have as much family, which I've never really experienced before. And it was very nice.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
It's a good quiet one's nice every once in a while, isn't it?
Yes, but I don't want to make a habit of it.
No, agreed. Hans, how about you?
You know, very similar, Floyd. Quiet, relaxing. Got a lot of stuff done and looking forward to the new year.
You know, I've asked a lot of people who've come in here that same question, and I think it was just a quiet year all the way around. Not a lot of people did too much. Not a lot of folks traveled this year, which is odd because great year to drive. I mean, it's probably one of the best years to drive that I've ever seen, and it was one of the first years in a long time that we didn't have to go anywhere. So I thought, well, that's why. The roads are so nice because I had to stay home. Now, anything that you're excited about going into 2026, Bev?
As far as the city, my main focus is to still look at those goals and objectives that I think the entire council has. And so I want to keep looking at, you know, our housing issue and what can we do to address those needs. I also want to make sure that we are fiscally responsible with the taxpayers' money. And probably the biggest thing personally for me is, what can the city do for the greater good, the most people? What is it that we need to focus in on for the entire community and not just little piecemeal objectives?
Large impact stuff.
Yes, yeah. Large impact.
Hans?
Floyd, I would say that in the last several years, we've really worked towards streamlining our processes and how we function in public works. And we've identified some gaps, and we've made quite a few improvements, and we're excited to get those implemented and for the better of the community and projects and developers, et cetera. We want to be a go-to source for the community and not have that stigma of kind of slowing things down. We really want to be part of the team and speed things up for everybody.
Yeah, and because I think there is a bit of a stigma there where it's like, oh, public works is outside. They're going to be here all week, you know, and people get upset. Now I got to go around the block or something else. And so I think that's absolutely fantastic to really kind of pull that back and say, hey, you know, we're here for you. We're part of the team. We're fixing up this or that. And looking through it, so it's basically SOP tightening, standard operating procedures that you really want to get kind of nailed down.
Well, yeah, fantastic. We like to minimize road closures. We like to get that information out sooner to all media platforms. We're really learning a lot about that as well. We were told, you know, the community calendar is an important thing for people to, for one demographic to get their information from. So we added that to the list. And we're excited to see how our new process works.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And yeah, when it comes to community calendars, things like that, it's amazing how many people click on that. A lot of people get their news through the community. What's coming up, you know, and really plan their week that way. Now, speaking of changes within certain processes, Hans, what's changing at the city's landfill? The coupon system is changing.
That's correct. Excuse me. Currently, the if you have a utility bill, you're allowed 6 free dumps per year. And it was previously tracked with your utility bill, which was cumbersome, and there were some gaps in that as well that the utilities department figured out. So they're coming up with a new punch card system. The cool thing about this is it's going to go to every single resident address. So if you we heard a lot of concerns about people who rent or something. Maybe they weren't getting the benefit of that utility bill and the 6 free dumps. So they're actually going to get this now. They're going to be able to utilize it. They're going to get a card in the mail pretty soon here. It's going to have 6 punches on it, and it'll allow up to a ton or 2,000 pounds, whichever comes first. allowable as a free disposal of refuse at the landfill.
Well, that's fantastic. What are some things that people need to know? They're going to receive it in the mail, number one.
Correct.
And is it just going to be the card itself, or is there going to be a little how-to utilize this card list?
I believe the how-to is going to be on the card itself, but if there are ever any questions, you can certainly call the landfill coordinator, and they can perfectly explain it for you. The most important thing is that you need to not lose your card. It really is the tracking system. Don't lose your card. Keep it in the glove box. Use it when you need it. And as far as my understanding, by all means, if you want to, if a friend runs out, you're welcome to use your card and take them up to the landfill with them and help them unload.
If you're willing to kind of share the punch, I guess.
Yeah, share the punch.
Share the punch. Now, the reason why we're changing over to this punch card system now is that specifically because some residents said, hey, you know, I don't pay that utility, so I can't utilize this service.
That was a component of it. I think more likely the tracking system was difficult. I think it was an Excel spreadsheet, as far as I understand.
Okay.
So, you know, you go up, you give them your name, your address, they find it, kind of keep some X's next to it. This is going to be more efficient for everybody. And, it aligns with the landfill and utilities department kind of finding those gaps as well. The city's put a lot of effort into that in the last few years as far as our performance goes. And we're all on board, and we have buy-in to improve our processes for the community.
Now, folks should be looking for this in the mail. If they don't end up getting one in the mail.
Absolutely. Call up to the landfill, the solid waste coordinator, and kind of explain your situation and go from there.
Okay. Now, moving on down the line, something that everyone looks forward to every year. There has been times in the past we weren't able to hold it. I'm wondering what's going to happen this year as I look out the window. Hans, for those who may not know, first off, what is the Winter Wyo Rodeo, and how does it fit into our winter operations here in the city?
Yeah, very good. The Wyo Winter Rodeo. So several years ago, Sean Parker and I, we worked together and coordinated a winter rodeo, which included building a ski obstacle course downtown is where we started, right, between the two breweries, And a horse would pull a skier through there, and the best time wins.
I like how it was between the two breweries.
Yeah, it worked well.
Who's going to utilize this celebration?
Yeah. Yeah, since then, you know, it's moved up to the fairgrounds, which actually made our lives quite a bit easier, and there were some safety components in that decision as well. It's a lot of fun. We've heard a lot of good feedback from the event. It's initially was to spur some economic activity in the slowest month of the year in Sheridan, which is February. It brings in a lot of people from out of town, a tremendous amount of people, and money is spent here. We kind of created an economy for that area of the year. It's been very successful, but obviously we need it to be white.
Yeah, we do. We do.
And on January 17th here coming up, we're going to make the call. We want to be respectful of everybody making travel plans. Because there's other events around the several states they could travel to, but we want them to come here. We're going to look at the forecast and determine whether or not it's going to be possible this year on January 17th, and the news will come out, I believe, that same day. And we're really hopeful we can have it again this year.
Yeah, because that's so difficult to try and plan around, because it could snow tomorrow. Could snow 3 weeks from now, could snow the day before the rodeo is supposed to kick off. I mean, there's a lot to that.
Yeah, that happened 1 year. We canceled it, and then about 3 days beforehand, we had a pretty good unknown snowstorm come in. But then, of course, the logistics of that is tough, too. You know, you need the snow to have settled a little bit so you can pack it, build the jumps, get the construction crew on board.
And speaking of the crew, I'm sure they love being part of this up at the city.
The city, absolutely. They love it as well. Also, our track builder sponsor is LJS Concrete and Excavation, JB Skinner's company. He's been on board from day one, provides the crew and the equipment, and they've built the track every year for zero cost to the community.
Oh,
as
wow.
just a, hey, we want to be part of it, and here you go.
Well, that's fantastic.
Fantastic guys to work with as well. It's a lot of fun.
I've been going out there doing that for years now.
Yeah.
Just letting you guys use his crew and his equipment. That's pretty amazing.
Absolutely,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now, are there any other winter activities that Public Works really kind of looks forward to? Or as the snow flies.
When the snow flies.
I'm sure you got to put down shovels concerning certain other works that you wanted to get done. In a year like this, though, Hans, are you guys able to kind of, you know what, let's go ahead and do that project, or do you take that chance?
You know, it's a good question. There are things we can get done. A lot of maintenance, the salt equipment we put in our dump trucks has a lot of wear and tear on those things, so we have a guy in the shop rebuilding those, trying to make that fleet last longer. We don't want the dump box to wear out before the chassis. So he's making those repairs, getting them repainted. There's quite a few other things. We can still clean some storm sewer. You know, they just went down and swept Main Street because there was no snow, so they're cleaning up all the winter debris. Actually, at this time of the year, we're kind of looking for things to do.
Yeah.
I know they're still grading alleys, and they're also, we're going to look at budgeting a piece of equipment. It's called a hot box. It'll allow us to heat up asphalt in the winter because our main batch plant's closed down, our hot plant. So we're going to be able to go patch potholes in the winter when the snow goes away and try to get ahead of that in the spring.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, we've made a lot of efforts in keeping our roads pothole-free. So and there's an app called Connect Sheridan. If you have any issues on your street, by all means, go on to Connect Sheridan. You can download it on the App Store, report the issues, and we'll have crew come out and take a look at it right away.
That's great to hear. So if I get one out in the street, I don't have to wait till spring anymore. I can just give you guys a ring or get on that app and let you know right now.
That's correct, and it actually tags the geolocation. Yeah, and we have means currently to temporarily repair potholes, but this piece of equipment we want to budget for in fiscal 27 would allow us to actually do the permanent fix.
Oh, wow.
While we have time now, don't have to come back in the spring, and it'll be really nice.
No more Band-Aids.
Correct. We're getting rid of the Band-Aids.
I do think that the community out there didn't understand that you couldn't actually permanently repair potholes in the winter
yeah.
because of the ambient temperature and the product that you had to use. So it was a temporary fix. And then, of course, as soon as you had more moisture, what did it do? It removed all of the fix
yep.
that we had. So this new equipment is really top-notch, you know, that we could use to keep our streets a lot more safer.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those situations where you think you understand a pothole. And then I did some research because I wrote a great big story years and years ago on potholes.
Oh.
And this was quite a while ago. But when I wrote that story, I had to sit down with engineers and people who understood this stuff. And I actually ended up reading papers and presentations written by engineers. And I thought, man, I don't know anything about potholes. Yeah. That was really eye-opening,
yeah.
Kind of the science behind it. And yeah. rightfully so. It's a huge problem for every city. It's a big issue every spring. And so, yeah, a lot of work and a lot of research has been dedicated into potholes, of all things. On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with the City of Sheridan when we return. Right after this, you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Some banks answer to shareholders.
First Federal Bank and Trust answers to the community.
Because as a mutual bank, everyone benefits. Profits stay local.
Supporting nonprofits and community programs with decades of local roots and modern online and mobile banking that fits your life.
More than a bank.
A mutual commitment.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone. A house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall. Backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
Don't miss the Rafter T. Angus annual sale Saturday, January 10th at 1 p.m. at Buffalo Livestock Marketing. Kale and Kim Kretschmann and the family will offer a top group of 60 range-ready yearling Angus bulls. The quality will be outstanding, and the bulls will be ready to go to work. So come for lunch at 11:30. The sale begins promptly at 1. Request your sale catalog today to be entered to win a $500 sale day credit. Visit raftertangus.com.
Do you ever hear ringing, buzzing, or humming when the room is quiet? You might be dealing with tinnitus, and if so, you're definitely not alone. Hi, this is Dr. Addison Dempsey from Ebia Hearing in Sheridan. We talk with people every day who feel frustrated, exhausted, and unsure where to turn because of tinnitus. The good news is there are treatment options. Advanced hearing aids like Starkey Omega AI can help reduce the perception of tinnitus by properly stimulating your auditory nerve and with masking technology. We also offer Lanier, an innovative FDA-approved therapy that combines sound with gentle stimulation to help retrain how the brain responds to tinnitus. There's no one-size-fits-all solution, which is why we start by listening to you. If you're struggling to hear well or tinnitus is affecting your sleep, focus, or quality of life, schedule a consultation with EBA Hearing today. You deserve quiet, clear moments again. EBA Hearing on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Call 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with Sheridan City Councilwoman Bev Lightnum and Public Works Director Hans Mercer. Now, we were discussing snow and the lack thereof, but it's always good to get planned because we never know what's going to happen. We all live here long enough. We know that the weather can change whenever it wants to. So, Bev, can you remind folks what the Snow Patrol program is and how that helps the community?
The Snow Patrol program was born of an idea out at our streets division, which is part of Public Works. And it's designed to serve those individuals within the community that are not able to shovel snow off their sidewalks or their driveways due to health issues or their age, maybe disabilities. And so, you know, the city has ordinances with regard to snow removal, and you are required to keep your sidewalks free and clear of snow. And you can't very well go to an elderly person's house and when they're utilizing a walker or a wheelchair and say, you need to clean your sidewalk. So we had to come up with something a little bit friendlier. And so the Snow Patrol program was born of that. We work, the city works with the hub on Smith Street to locate volunteers that will go out and be that snow blower, that snow shoveler for those individuals that can't do it. So it's all on a volunteer basis. If you are interested in becoming that volunteer, you can call the City Service Center, which is our streets department, and volunteer, and they can take your information and then forward it on to the senior center, the hub, at which time you would have to fill out an application, and you will have to be vetted because obviously we are giving
addresses
to individuals.
Now, there's also an app, and this is something that we were talking about earlier this morning. You get this app on your phone. When someone in your area needs assistance, you get alerted.
You can go to that app and find out what individuals or what areas are requesting assistance for snow removal.
So then you go down there, you perform the service, and then you can even mark, hey, I got it. We're done here. That's fantastic. That's so easy. Now, there is one thing that people should know, and we double-checked this morning. You have to go through the volunteer process.
Yes.
To gain information from the app. You can't just find this app sitting around anywhere. This is obviously for safety reasons. The city wants to protect its residents. The hub wants to help with that. So you're not going to be able to really utilize this app until you've volunteered, gone through the vetting process, get it on your phone, and then you can go right to work.
That is correct.
And we're always looking for volunteers on this. So if you had a plea to the community, what would that be?
Well, you could do what my husband and I do in our neighborhood. We have a fair amount of elderly individuals. And so as good neighbors, we just help them out. And of course, they know us. We know them. That vetting process probably isn't, I don't need to go through the hub in order to help my neighbor. But there are those individuals who maybe are retired, who are looking to give back to the community. And so this allows them to maybe expand and go outside their own area. And I think we all realize that in this day and age, people don't know their neighbors very well.
Yeah.
And and that's obvious when you have an issue with the neighborhood, with a neighbor, what do they usually do? They call someone else to deal with it instead of going and knocking on the door. Mm. So this app allows individuals to give back to the community, and I would say go down to the hub. The volunteer coordinator is Callie Trampy. And I can even give that number out. It's 675-4953. Visit with her. Find out and get all your questions answered. And then volunteer.
And go to work.
I have never heard an organization that ever complained they had too many volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And this is a great introductory way if you really do want to volunteer, get to know some folks. It's a good introductory program. If you've just moved to the area, you got a strong back.
Yes.
It's going to end up being needed.
And it's a volunteer opportunity that doesn't occur all year long.
Yeah.
So many times when you volunteer for something, it is a year-long process. Or, you know, it's something that you do for the organization for a term of so many years or whatever. This is basically short little process, maybe 4 months.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a pretty easy year.
So far.
We have yet to see February, but so far. Now, Bev, the city and Sheridan County Commissioners are going to have their second joint meeting next week, January 13th. What's the purpose of this joint meeting between this, the City Council and the County Commission?
Thanks, Floyd. This is something that is very near and dear to my heart. I was actually the one that approached the mayor and the county commission chairman about having a joint city-county meeting. And it was an idea born from my good friend, Mayor Schrader, out of Buffalo. He explained that the city of Buffalo and the Johnson County commissioners have joint meetings where they share ideas, they collaborate, they discuss joint jurisdictional issues. And so another council person, Jack Wood, and myself went and sat in on one of their city-county meetings, and it got me really excited about what we could do here in the city of Sheridan and Sheridan County. It's a great tool to start conversations.
Yeah.
Now, I need to specify, there's no action taken during these meetings.
Don't need a quorum or anything like that.
No, we don't need a quorum. There's no motions. There's nothing. But anytime there is dialogue, it's a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it identifies so many things. It can set forth shared services. You know, what is the city doing and the county is doing that we are duplicating that we can combine
mm-hmm.
and help each other out? Along with that, it would utilize taxpayers' money a lot more judiciously, and it gives also a direct forum for staff and leaders to exchange ideas. And so there's so many positives that can come from this. And one of the biggest things, I think, is that it helps build trust with the community. The one thing we don't want to have is two entities fighting one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we talk, the more we discuss, the better the collaboration. And it just, there is such a free flowing of information between the two groups. So I'm really excited about this going forward.
Can folks attend this? Can the public attend it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They can attend the meeting. We do have some sideboards. You know, it's a discussion between the city and the county. We are not taking public comment at that time. We have limited the time frame to 1 hour because everybody has constraints on their time. And so we have 1 hour. We can get through whatever items are on the agenda, and then it just goes forward to the next meeting. But one of the examples, and I had this conversation with Commissioner Siddle, is that the commissioners get questioned a lot about the West Belt Loop and what's happening. Well, that's really not their wheelhouse. And so when we have topics like that or situations, now at this meeting, we can have those questions answered. Mm. They can, the commissioners can ask us, you know, give us an update, whatever. And so my whole purpose in bringing this forward is to just have better communication between the two entities.
It sounds like a large sharing of information that we're all on the same page no matter what we do.
Exactly. I mean, exactly.
Hans, how often do you have a conversation with Road and Bridge?
Oh, you know, we strive to keep those relationships very active. It was one of my initiatives when I came to work for the municipality. I wanted to build those relationships with our friends at YDOT, any funding agencies, the county engineers, and all of our other organizations in town.
I mean, we're all after the same thing, you know. So I think it's a great idea to have any kind of sit down and discussion. Most disagreements are not about the goal. Most disagreements are about how to reach that goal, from what I've seen anyway. Now, going forward, what would you say, Bev, is the topic that you would want to discuss at the next meeting or maybe later on down the line? Is there anything specific where you're like, you know what, I would really like to bring this up with the city council and or city council and the county commission and gain some ground?
Well, I can tell you what the topics for the next meeting are.
That'd be fantastic.
So when we first put together this initiative, asked both entities to submit topics for discussion. And we've already talked about a few of them. Upcoming this next week, SAWS is on the agenda. Also, public restrooms. And you might ask, why would the county care about public restrooms within the city proper? Well, because we all serve the same people. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that the city has really been looking into, and Hans can expound on this, is that we don't really have public restrooms downtown other than those that are in the parking lot between Verdello and City Hall. They're not all weather bathrooms. And
that could be a long walk for somebody.
Well, and not every business allows use of their restrooms. So it is something that we would like to explore and see what we can work collaboratively together on. Another topic is annexations of subdivisions into the city and a review of our memorandum of understanding with regard to that 1 mile donut area. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since that MOU has been upgraded or looked at. And of course, that's a joint effort between the city and the county. And then this is way far down the line, but we have the 100-year anniversary of the YO Rodeo coming up in 2032.
It's a big one.
That's huge. And maybe some people might think, okay, it's 5-6 years away. Isn't that a little early? But it never hurts to put these things in your back pocket, on the calendar. Have it out there. Have it identified.
Well, and I'd like to see one heck of a celebration eventually once that hits.
Oh, I hope it's massive.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to see that. And planning, you know, for those situations always takes 10 times longer than you think it should. And then you got the hurdles that you got to figure out before you even start planning on getting over them. So I think that's a great idea. Now, I've got to take a quick commercial break. He's getting ready to come in here and hit me with something. So we will be right back. More with the city right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
What makes First Federal Bank and Trust different?
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness talking New Year's resolutions.
Tommy, hi. If eating better or getting fit is on your list, Teriyaki Madness has you covered. High protein chicken, steak, tofu or salmon, real veggies, and bold flavors made fresh daily. And yes, we have gluten-free options too.
That sounds delicious.
Whether you're counting protein, cutting carbs, going gluten-free, or just want food that actually fuels your day, Teriyaki Madness is your go-to for healthy meals.
This year, eat smarter with Teriyaki Madness. Healthy never tasted this good.
So Jill, let me get this straight. You're telling me there's a moment in the year where there is less competition to buy a home in Sheridan, and that time is now?
That's right, Colton. Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates team at Best. And while some choose to hibernate and wait until spring to begin looking at homes, there are still sellers waiting to get their homes sold.
And if you are a seller, know that the colder season will bring ready, serious buyers.
And when you list your home with Best, your home will shine bright and show well no matter the season.
Looks like now is the exact right time, so give us a call today at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're speaking with Sheridan City Councilwoman Bev Leichnam and Public Works Director Hans Mercer. All right, now, I'm trying to review because I'm always running out of time with you guys. Like we were talking about before, it just seems to go by so dang fast. And it's one of those situations, that's why James has always got to give me that signal, because I don't feel like a lot of time is passing, yet we're running out. So what I'm going to do is just kind of jump around a little bit. We're going to talk about a recent budget revision. And Bev, why was this budget revision done?
Well, the purpose of a budget revision is to account for any and all unspent fiscal year 25, this past year's budget funds, and any new revenues that may have come into the city since the annual budget was approved in June of last year.
So this is really, let's sit down, let's look at the outgoing, let's look at the incoming, and just kind of refresh ourselves.
Well, and when the city, when any governmental entity puts their budget together, they not only look at what do we need to budget for? What are our expenditures? What do we want? Basically, what do we want to buy? What do we want to provide? And then, so you look at that, but then you also have to budget or estimate what your revenue is going to be. And so, excuse me, you estimate to the best of your ability what your revenue is going to be. So your sales tax revenue. Well, by the time the fiscal year ends and you go to reconcile your books, for lack of a better term, now you see that you have received more revenue in sales tax revenue than you anticipated, than you estimated. So what do you do with that general fund money? You can't roll general fund money over into the next budget year.
Really?
That's correct.
Wow.
So this budget revision allowed us to see where we ended at the end of the fiscal year, what monies we had available that we could utilize to fund those projects or services or equipment that we had basically axed out of the request.
Yeah.
So department heads come, department heads get together and they put their list together. This is what we need to provide the services that the community has become used to. And this is what we would like to add on. And I would reference back to the piece of equipment that Hans was talking about with regard to pothole repair.
Yeah.
Okay. So that they come forward with their requests. Well, then we look at what we estimate our revenue to be and what we can afford. And then we have to make, then everything goes to the chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're prioritizing. And the department heads do a fabulous, fabulous job about prioritizing. They know going in what they can put off for another year or something. And so for this past year with the legislature eliminating some of our revenue from property taxes, the city went in with a really tight, streamlined budget.
A very conservative mindset.
Because we just didn't know what to expect. And as it turned out, our general fund revenue was higher than we anticipated. So anyway, moving forward, we have to let the community know, the taxpayers know. What are you going to do with that extra revenue? What are you going to utilize it for? That's why we have a budget revision. So it's out there in the public. This is how much we have in excess, and this is what we're going to now fund. So one of the things that really concerned me when we first put the budget together was the fact that we cut snow removal. We didn't cut it entirely, but we pared it down. Snow removal, pothole repair, and striping. And those are all services that we need to have. And so this budget revision with our extra revenue that came in now has allowed us, I'm so happy to say, to make those budget items whole.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things when you're sitting down with the budget and looking at it, it might not be glorious, but Hans, it's important, isn't it? Like, well, how important are those things right there?
It's very important. That's commonly what we get calls on, is snow removal, potholes, and striping. So we have a contract striping program. The equipment to purchase and perform some of that is just tremendous, so it's more affordable to the taxpayers to contract that out each year. And this budget revision made that whole again. So we can put those lane stripes back down and stop bars and crosswalks.
And as a department head, when you do sit down with your budget every year and your team and you say, okay, what are our needs and what are the wants? And you start making your adjustments and cuts as things get tighter. How relieved are you when you kind of get the heads up, hey, you know what? We're going to be able to fund this. We're going to be able to do that. Is that like weight off your shoulders?
Yes, it's a lot of weight, off my shoulders, and it just gives us the confidence that we're going to be able to provide that level of service that the community would expect, and we're proud to do that.
Now, looking forward, improvement and infrastructure projects into 2026. I'm running out of time with you, but this is something that I wanted to discuss with you while I had you here, Hans. What are you looking forward to into the new year as we go forward? Everything melts away eventually, and we can get to work.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a South Downtown, our South Hill project, out to bid right now. We had a pre-bid construction yesterday, and it's out to bid for that complete street and utility reconstruction up on top of the courthouse area. We're doing phase one, so we're really getting into these neighborhoods that are long overdue. They've been in our capital improvement program, and so we're able to accomplish those. At the same time, with the budget revision, we were awarded some bump truck funding, which is going to analyze our entire street network.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to allow us to create our new capital improvement program, which is where we direct funding for these major projects for the next 0 to 5 and then 5 to 10 years.
How long does that take when you sit down with your people and you're like, what are we looking for 5, 10, 20 out?
Oh, it's a tremendous lift. It takes the major part of a year to really put the science into where those taxpayer dollars are going to go.
Yeah. Because I imagine a lot of studies, a lot of research has gone in, people going out and really getting to know, well, does this street need it or does that street need it? Or where does our pipe even go right here?
Absolutely. That's the bump truck data. We pair that with, we call it a heat map. It's all the areas in town where we've had water main breaks. And that's often due to highly corrosive soils. And a lot of that's ductile iron put in the 60s and 70s. So that's due to be replaced with PVC, and it should last much longer. And then we also look at the roads that don't need full replacement. We have a microservice program that reseals the surface, and it can make that street look brand new and last another 10 or 15 years.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
which is tremendous.
Yeah, because you're the one who taught me how much streets cost.
Yeah.
And my mind is blown every single time. I'm sure that has actually gone up since the last time you and I spoke. If you were to give me a rough anecdotal estimate per mile, what are we paying?
Per mile? That's a good question.
What? Okay.
Go back to per block.
let's do per block.
Per block, it used to be short of $1 million, depending upon what kind of utilities you're replacing. And since we have a project going out for bid, I'm going to tell all the contractors it's gone down to about $500,000 now. No, not really.
Yeah, it's half that.
It's about half. No, not really. It's a tremendous amount, and we're going to find out what the new prices are this year at bid opening. So we're going to have a better idea what a full reconstruct will cost.
Yeah. And yeah, that's great, Hans. You shot your shot trying to save the taxpayer money. I like it. All right. Now, Bev, let's talk about your outlook for 2026. It's also an election year. What city council positions will be up for election this year?
We have 3 council positions.
Wow.
3. And some of the election dates that are important to know is your primary election is August 18th, 2026. The general election is November 3rd, 2026. If you'd like to run, you'll need to file prior to the primary filing period, and I believe that is in May, and you would go to the county. Well, you would file an application with our city clerk for any city council position. And you could call Ashley Foster, our city clerk at City Hall, for further information, but I believe that deadline is in May. So any other information that I'd like to put out right now is that for those of you who didn't vote in the last general election, first of all, shame on you. But if you didn't vote in the last general election, you've been removed from the registration rolls and you will need to register to vote again.
All right.
And my last comment on this is vote. Just vote.
Exactly. And one thing that I would add, the more representatives or individuals from our community who run, in my opinion, the better. I'd love to see a full stage up there for any debates. I invite every voice to add what they feel. It's your right as a citizen, and it's your duty as a resident.
And if you're interested in those city council positions, I would urge you to start coming to our council meetings and our study sessions so that you can have an idea of what the council does and what their protocol is. And so becoming involved in what council really does. And the best way to do that is to come to those meetings. Now, I would also offer that you can, those meetings are televised on the internet, and you can watch them at a later date. They are recorded and archived. So there is an opportunity for everyone to be involved in their city government.
Absolutely. I want to thank you both so much for coming in. It's always such a pleasure having you guys in here. I laugh a lot. I greatly appreciate you both. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
What if your bank actually shared your values?
That's the difference at First Federal Bank and Trust.
No outside shareholders, just shared values.
Just people banking with people and investing right back into our community.
Supporting local nonprofits.
Strengthening the place where we call home.
With local branches and convenient online and mobile banking.
Banking without shareholders.
You belong at First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Step into a world of wintry wonder as Shimmer brings a breathtaking Cirque performance to the Wild Theater stage Thursday, January 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy awe-inspiring aerialists, acrobats, and dreamlike choreography celebrating the enchantment of the season through movement, light, and imagination. Tickets for this spellbinding experience are available now at the Wild Theater box office or online at wildtheater.com. A winter Cirque reverie, Thursday, January 22nd.
Hungry for a delicious meal that'll leave your taste buds singing? Look no further than Frackleton's Fine Food and Spirits. Everything from mouth-watering burgers to succulent steaks, our menu was packed with flavor and satisfaction. Check out our extensive drink menu featuring handcrafted cocktails, local brews, and fine wines. By the way, now it's easier than ever to book your table early. Go to Frackleton's.com and choose your time of day and the table you want, and it'll be waiting for you when you get there. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Do you struggle to hear ringing, buzzing, or hissing that won't go away? That could be tinnitus, and you're not alone. Hi, this is Elizabeth from EBA Hearing, and I have good news. Today's advanced hearing aids and innovative, proven therapy like Lanier use sound and gentle stimulation to reduce tinnitus awareness. Relief starts with a conversation. Call EBA Hearing to schedule a hearing loss or tinnitus evaluation today, because silence shouldn't feel so far away. 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until noon every Sunday on KWYO Sheridan.